It's pastelillos back there, some yellow stuff. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. You know, it's it may seem like we say the same thing everywhere we go, but it's really not true. I walked in here tonight and I felt good. I felt good. Now, mind you, that I go to we have attended churches that have been established for many, many years, big temples, but you feel like an outsider. It's nice to come here to your church. You feel at home. It's like a family. And I know that you're just starting out, and the future holds great things for you because of what I've noticed here tonight, the dynamics that you have. It's very calling, very appealing. People like to belong to environments, atmospheres such as this. And once they get to know that this church is here, believe me, this place is just a little bit too small. Yeah. Already, you know, if you have this number of people, just for this kind of an occasion, you know, you have this number of people, imagine 5-10 years from now. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be nice. When that happens and I'm still around, why, you know, give me a call. Because I want to come back and be able to tell you, I told you so. I told you so. Before I go on, I have my girlfriend for 42 years and my wife for 40 years. She's with me tonight. She's still standing by my side. And I want to be able to eat breakfast tomorrow. And if I want to eat breakfast tomorrow, I better let her talk tonight. Jenny, come say hello.
Hello. Of course, we're Tony and Jenny Morales, and we're from Matagalpa, Nicaragua. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Where is Nicaragua? Is it in North America? Is it in South America? Is it in Central America? Where is it? Ah, you all have an A. further night. And of course, everybody noticing that I do have a very nice and bright dress on. Yes. It's a very traditional dress from Matagalpa. And if you notice on my dress here, this represents coffee. We produce our area up there fantastic coffee. We even sell to Starbucks. And in our area as well, you notice that the guy here, 40 years that I'm with, his outfit, it looks like he does farming. And of course, that's what our area is all about. We produce. I'm a little nervous. We produce a lot of vegetables, fruits, good broccoli, carrots. And like I say, we produce coffee there and milk. And of course, God rains on all those vegetables, so we have very, very, very good produce. Glad to be here this evening. I'm going to let Tony speak. It's our pleasure. I do feel good.
I do feel good.
Tonight, every church has its personality. It's nice to be home. God bless you.
And like she said, I'm Tony Morales. I'm from Port Rich. Port Rich is down in the Caribbean. Others know by Puerto Rico. I'm from Puerto Rico, raised in New York City. You know, back then, way back then, everybody thought and everybody still thinks that this was the promised land. And it really is. That's why so many are trying to get in here. Compared to the rest of the world, this is still the promised land. And I recall that my father came up here back in 1952 and began to work, and he sent for us. And we moved into New York City back in 1953. At that time, my uncle, who came up to the States to study for the priesthood, got saved. He got saved. And the first thing that he did, as you folks do, he went and gathered his own and brought them to church. And he went to my house and asked my dad and my mom permission to take us to Sunday school. And we began attending the Assemblies of God Sunday School back in April of 1953. A few months later, I gave my heart to the Lord. I was just 9 and a half. And that meant that I was going against the Spanish tradition. You know, you're very Catholic, Roman Catholic. And that was to become a Pentecostal back then was taboo. It just didn't happen. I became a Christian. I didn't care what my father or my mother said. I was really saved at that age. And if I was to mention church in my house back then, it was a beating. If I mentioned my pastor, it was a beating. If I would go to church, mind you, church in New York City, you would think I'd be running around with the gangs. By the way, you should read the cross and the stretch plate and you'll see the name of Morales there. But anyway, you would think that, you know, if I was in church, things would be nice and my father and my dad would be happy for us. Not so. Not so. If I was to be in church, you know, and I would be getting home at 10 o'clock, I'd be sleeping outside in the streets. That's the way it was. However, we persevere. I persevere in the Lord. And soon enough, my mother came to the Lord. And then afterwards, years and years afterwards, my father came to the Lord, but still maintained that material mentality that brought him to the motherland of making money. And the dollar became his gold. And that's all that was taught in my house. We were taught to make money. And you want to make money because that makes things happen. So although I was a Christian, you know, I was a Christian, devout Christian, still my father had a lot of influence about money. And so I became enamored to the dollars. So if I didn't have dollars on me, you know, I was a very disenchanted person. That has a lot to do with the future of my life. With the future of my life. Because now I'm over that retirement age, and things have passed, and I wanted to give you that up front so that you get an idea how all this can happen. I want to express my appreciation to you for inviting us here tonight. You didn't have to. You don't know Tony and Jenny, but you took a risk and you invited us. Because you have a heart for missions. I like what your pastor said. He said that missions is, that's God's mind. And if you got saved, you got saved to do missions. Because the missions work is about propagating Christ. And if you don't do it here in your community, you're not going to do it anywhere else. And so if you don't practice the purpose why God has brought you into His kingdom here in this community, you're not really concerned about what happens out there in Nicaragua or India or Africa. You may pay lip service, but your heart is not in it. Because if your heart is in it, it will be shown here. So the Lord saved me, and I went to the military service. I did 4 years of military service in the early 60s. When it was not a nice thing to be in the military service. But I did my 4 years of service then. And right after that, my pastor said, Tony, the best place for you to go to is Bible school. I said, yeah, well, you know, I had the money. And so I went to Bible school. Not because generally speaking, people go to Bible school because they have a call upon their lives. You've heard that, right? God called them, and so they went to Bible school. Not so with me. To me, it was logical to go to a Bible school because that would be a place where I can get my head straight again. You know, in the military service, does a lot of things to your mind. And so Bible school was a good place to go. So I went there, not because I had a call to the ministry or anything like that, but because it was the right place to go. You know, a sound place, protected place, and you can rest. You can rest in line from all the anxieties that you build up during your service years. Anyway, so I went to the Bible school, not thinking about to become a pastor. Mind you, I said I came to the church when I was nine and a half, and so I've seen everything that pastors go through. Now today they're a door, but back when I was a kid, pastors were the last thing on the pole. And so they were the victims of nasty boards. I'm telling you, because I lived through that. And they were abused. So if you want to be a pastor, you'd like to be abused. I didn't like to be abused. I didn't want to be a pastor. And I definitely didn't want to be a missionary. Because every time a missionary would come to church, he would talk about the great things that God would do through them. And God would do this and God would do that. And so to me, they were just super spiritual people. People of a different world. Weird people that God did weird things through their lives. So I never wanted to be a missionary either, nor evangelist. I just wanted to make money. That would make me happy. So I started my own company. After I went through Bible school, then I went to Delaware University, and I went to Maryland University, and I went to the Elijah's Theological Seminary, and I went through Valley Forge Christian College. I went through all that because I like to study. Why not study? Time is going to go by anyway. So you study. So I had the money because I started my own company, like my dad did. My dad retired at the age of 52. You don't retire at the age of 52. You're too young. My dad, he's 93 years old. My dad retired at 52 and he's never has had to work again. That's how much money he made. Yeah? You think, well, Tony, what are you doing here? See, he is a money man. And so he said to me, listen, there's no money in the ministry. He wanted me to be a lawyer because I had a scholarship to go to Temple University to study law. But I gave that up because I wanted to go to Bible school. This is the right place for me to go. Anyway, so he said, I'm not giving you a cent because there's no money in the ministry. And to this day, that man has kept his word. You want to know that kind of a person because you can trust his word. Yeah, he's kept his word. That's the kind of man he is. He's 93 years old, this tall. But he could stand here and tell you everything. Straight line, an incredible person. But very strict, very, very well disciplined. So he has kept all his money. I called my dad. I just called him yesterday to make sure that he knows me. 93, he's going to forget, right? I don't want him to forget. No way, no way. Hey, Dad, it's me, Tony. Get off the phone. I know why you called. Get off the phone. Because I know that since he's never given me anything, when he passes on, it'll pass on. You understand? So I keep close ties with him. Very close. Keep very close. So he's a man of his word. He's never kept. I wanted to make money. He retired at 52. He didn't have to work. He still lives out of all his investments. And they live very well. Him and mom, it's just two pairs. God brought them together. They deserve each other. They sharpen each other. You know what I'm talking about? They sharpen each other. And they stay sharp, sharp minds. So I wanted to retire at 52. And I started my business. And God blessed me because I took most of the money and I would donate it to the mission field, to the cause of the Lord. That's what I wanted to do with my company. It's a group of guys that started the same thing, the same mentality. Let's become wealthy so we can give it all to the Lord and live on 10%. That was our mindset. Guys, young guys do that. They're adventurous. And so the Lord blessed our business because we were giving most of it to the mission field and to other Christian projects. And the Lord blessed great. We were happy. Jenny was happy. She had her house. She had her car. My kids had all their braces done. They were university. Their school was paid for. They had their own vehicles. The Lord blessed us incredibly, incredibly. My company had license in New York and New Jersey. So we were doing very well. We service all of Harts Mountain and the Meadowlands and New York City and New York State. We're doing very well. So we were happy. We were content. We were secure. However, I would tell the Lord, Lord, how we do. We go to the altar and we say, Lord, here I am, send me. Because they would preach about the fact that you have to go out and do missions work. And so I would pray to the Lord, Lord, send me. Well, I started then going overseas with a MAPS team. Have you heard about MAPS? Yeah, well, I got involved in that because I had the time and I had the money. Now, let me, this is where the thing starts thickening. Missions work is God's playground. That's God's thing. The ministry is God's thing. It's not our thing. That's what you, once you learn that, that is, it opens a door, incredible doors. The ministry is God's thing. Missions is God's playground. That's where He does His thing. So I started traveling on short mission trips to Ecuador and other places. And then that's where the Lord started messing up my mind. He started messing with me. And, you know, I was very big into getting into investments and making money that way and buying houses and selling houses. And the Lord started messing with my mind about investments. Can you imagine that? He would take the very thing that I loved and He would twist it. But that's what He does once you go on mission trip. Don't do it, because God will mess up your mind. So I went overseas, and then God started speaking to my mind about, hey guy, how about investing in things? But I'm not talking about spiritual experience. I'm just talking about mind games that God will play. How about investing in things that have eternal values? I mean, literally, eternal values. He would make me see that the money that I was investing in my mind and investment was based upon things that were temporal. You know, you build a big building, you're not going to take it with you. You know, you invest all your money in buildings, you're not going to take them with you. And so, wouldn't it be better to invest in things that will last for eternity? Oh man, what a mind game. I didn't know what to do. And so he said, how about if your life is multiplied in the life of other people? Now mind you that I said that I had gone through schools and all that and studied and all. But didn't play any part. I was good in my company and I was doing very well. So how about your life be multiplied as you invest in other people's? In old people's lives. One of the trips that I took, I went to Peru, Chiclayo, Peru. And there I met this gentleman who was the presbyter of the district. And we were sitting on the campfire because we went to do a Royal Rangers camporama in Peru. And I was big in that here in Jersey, so we went over there to do it, a whole team. And we sat along the campfire, and I'm sitting next to this man, and I was talking about the holes in the walls of the place that we were staying. I said, it's like the little foxes could get in there and they can mess up the field. Speaking about a church with the holes in the wall. You know, and the foxes, the false doctrines would come in and destroy the whole thing. And why it's very necessary for you to teach sound doctrine to the young believers so that the work will be established and it will persevere. Otherwise, it will be destroyed. Well, it just so happened that that man, he got elected superintendent of the National Church of Peru, the National Assemblies of God of Peru. And one of the things that he did was call my house. So when you go overseas, don't give him phone numbers. Don't give him phone numbers. He calls my house on a Friday night. And he said, Brother Morales, I was elected National Superintendent of the Assemblies of God of this nation, and I want you to come and direct the National Bible Institute. Me? No, I'm just a roach killer. I'm sitting there in a pew in church. That's all I was doing. Never been a... Yeah, I've been to school, but never directed a school. So he said, would you come? And the whole panorama of my life till that day came to my mind. It's just, I saw the whole thing. Why this and why this and why this and why this. And the reason for this was so that I would say yes. Yes. And so I said yes to this man. Right there on the spot. I said, yes, I'll go. Yes meant that I would drop everything. Ooh, that sounds really nice. Very novel, you know. But to a lady that's 50, I'm sorry. Sorry.
That's right.
That's right. You're awesome. She was 15. You know, a lady that was 15. So sorry, girl. It's been such a long time, you know. So, you know, you don't tell her, hey, we're going to Peru. Peru where? At this age? What, are you kidding me? Because a woman depends upon security. Security. Not the adventure. Guys take risks. Not a woman. And I had done so many of these stunts before and messed up that I was sure that she was going to say no. Period. She was going to say no. So I told the Lord, Lord, I said yes to this man tonight, but you're going to have to talk to the wife, not me. That's the way it is. So, you know, so he did 2 weeks later. It was about 2 weeks later. It was her who said to me, when are we leaving? From the point of, how come we haven't left yet? That shows up and down, I'm telling you. Because no way in the world that she was going to say that. No way in the world. It was just the Lord. So we left. We left everything here. We left everything and he just dropped it. We left our boys that were in school and so forth. You know, we dropped everything and we went. Like Abraham did. He left everything behind. He followed the Lord. Because I didn't know nothing about Peru. It was nice. We went to Peru, and I want to go real fast because he only gave me 5 minutes and it's 20 minutes already. You know, we went to Peru and we were sent to the desert of Peru. God has a sense of humor. You know, I'm from New Jersey. He sends me to the desert. Anyway, so we went there. And would you know that it was just at the right time that we went to direct that school? A young person would have never made it. He would not be capable of managing the situation. The financial crisis that it was in. The administrative crisis that it was in. They were offering 244 credits for a 4-year program. You know, it's only 139. That's all that they require here. You know, 244 credits. They didn't know what they were doing. So we went there in a year, and they were in the black and red. Like the dress. They were in the red. I'll look at the dress next time. They were in the red. They were in the red for thousands of soles. Thousands. In a year's time, we straightened out the educational program and we were in the black. In a year's time. It was just God. It was just God. And we were just people that were sitting in the pews. You understand? God seeks. He doesn't seek the qualified. He doesn't. He doesn't seek the qualified. He doesn't seek the proud. In fact, the Bible says in Corinthians that he chooses the foolish things of this world. Those that people will say, not him. If you go to Englewood Assembly of God, you ask them, would Tony do this? They will tell you, because they know me from when I was a young scrapper. And you know, they will say, no way in the world. But it's only the Lord. The work, the mission work, is God's playground. You play under his rule. So I learned to play the rules. I learned to play the game. Hey Lord, you're in charge here. How do you want it done? And so he would give me the ideas how to do it. I would sit down and talk because I know what a CEO is. And so, you know, if an employee went out and did something that was not okay by me, he'd be in trouble. And God is the CEO of this business. He's the CEO. So I would talk to him like the chief. He's the boss. Okay, how do you want it done? You have to tell me because I'm going to do it. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it in your name. And it better be right because then your name is going to be in trouble. That's the way I would talk to him. You see? And he would bring it about. Because honestly, that's the way I would do it. If there was somebody sick, mind you, if somebody's sick, you go and call Pastor James. Right? Come and pray, this person is sick. Well, I didn't have a Pastor James to go call. I was it. I was the missionary. You know? We were the people, you know, the men of God. Yeah. I never prayed for a demon possessed person. Never. I don't know what that was. Well, Brother Tony, you know, they have this young man and they have him nailed in a room. Because he would take all his clothing off and run through the village. All of it. Start naked. Whacked out. A young punk that went crazy. And so I said, well, okay, I'll go pray for him. Now, I've never prayed for anybody like that. Never. Just never did. In my church, we had deacons, people who were spiritual. You know, I'm just a businessman. That's all. And so, you know, they called Tony. So since Tony is a missionary, he's got to go and do it. Okay, fine. I went. And they have nails on all this door. I said, now, wait a minute. You want me to talk to that man? You got to open that door. So they took all the nails out. I walked in. This guy is naked. And he's got a New Testament. And with a nail, he's tearing up that New Testament. This is a young punk about 17, 18 years old. 17, 18. What? That was mine. The devil had him all tied up. Can you imagine who's asking you to do that? God is, like an old man, God is asking me to do this. What do you do? You never done it before? What do you do? How do you handle it? I didn't know. I'm just a rookie. So I did what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know, in my name, in Mark, in my name you will. So I did what Jesus said that I should do in his name. That's simple. It's simple. That's how simple it is. It's his game. Okay? In my name you will do these things. As you go along, you will do these things in my name. So I said, listen, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name, and when I get done, you're not going to feel like doing that anymore. You know? So I said, in Jesus' name, be made well. That's all. Now, the professionals, they know how to, you know, in Jesus' name, come on, you know. No, no. I didn't know how to do that. I hadn't learned that stuff. Just in Jesus' name, be made well. Be made whole. 2 weeks later, Roberto comes to my office, dressed. Do you remember me? Do you remember me? That was the question. Then they bring Vilma. Vilma is a young girl. She's gone crazy. And she's doing all kinds of crazy dance in front of the office there. You know, sit her. Said, what is your problem? Because that's the way we talk in New York City. What's your problem? You know. Still doing the same silly stuff. Well, I'm going to pray that Jesus is going to make you well today. Okay? And I said, in Jesus' name, be made well now. Because that's all I knew how to do. And so Vilma, today, you go to Chiclayo, Peru. Vilma's married and has a family. Totally sound. Totally sound. And I was just sitting there, and I would say, just like you did, wow. Because missionaries only talk about weird things. No, they don't know any better. They just know who's the boss. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go into all nations. You see? And lo, I am with you. A man said that. A man said that. So I believe. I believe the man. I believe him. And if he said it, I believe it. And so all I do is, hey, it's his name. No, it's not Tony. I did it in Jesus' name. If Jesus didn't do it, go see him. I got nothing to do with it. He told me that that's what I had to do. You see? So you do what the boss says. And Jesus does it. You go outside these walls, you're going to meet all kinds of situations. What are you going to do? You're going to call Pastor James? Nah. Jesus told us that we're supposed to go. We're supposed to do the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. That's what he said. And so I was in Nicaragua, in Chiclayo, doing what Jesus asked us to do. But let me tell you this, and I don't want to be preaching anything like that, but everything that I did in Chiclayo, Peru, go to Englewood. I was in charge of the men's, leader of the men's. I was leader of the youth, because I'm kind of young back then. Leader of the youth. I was leader of the music department. I was music director. I was leader of the Sunday school. taught Sunday school from primary all the way up to the adult class. I was leader of construction. I was leader of evangelism. Did everything in my church. Everything that the pastor needed help with, I was there to do it. And so there's much ministry, there's much missions work that could be done in this community here. If you dare to say yes to the Lord, He says, I am with you. But don't expect the Lord to be with you unless you're doing something for the Lord. You know, it's boring to be a common Christian. You want to be in the forefront. Get out there and do it for Jesus' sake, and you're going to enjoy the fact that Christ can do mighty works through you. The fact that, and I don't want to be preachy, but the fact that you expect the pastor to do it, that's not the way the Bible says it. He says He's given pastor to pastor the church. I have a saying, sheep do not bear sheep. You know, the pastor, he's supposed to pastor. He's supposed to pastor so that we be prepared to do the ministry. And if my church had not prepared me to do the ministry, I wouldn't be here today. You understand how it works? Yeah. And this is a person, a lay person, that's telling you this. So you go out and you do God's bidding. Now we've been in Matagalpa, Nicaragua. We spent 6.5 years in Peru, in the desert. And the Lord, like I say, He's got, I don't understand Him sometimes. So He says it's the mountains of Matagalpa, Nicaragua, the mountains where it rains and where, you know, you have Peru is a little bit more modern. In Matagalpa, if you want to go to church, you walk. If you don't walk, then you take your horse. If you don't take your horse, you take your mule. Most churches have that thing that you see in the westerns, you know, where you tie up your horse. Most churches have that because you got to get either get there by mule, you get there by horse. Or in the city, they have some taxis. If not, they have trucks that do route, you know, they do, and they charge you, you know, some call to us to take you around. Or they have the route buses where you 20,000 people, one liter, 15. Honestly, I am telling you the truth. That's the way it is. If it's a truck, it'd be jam packed in the truck, you know. But you get around. You get around. When you don't get around, then you get a panga. A panga is just a big tree that they carve out little by hand. And they throw that in, and you take your stuff, you put it in there, and He'll take you up the river. We have done that for the Lord. Because the truck, the 4x4, speed the light vehicle that the New Jersey has given us for ministry has been re-welded twice. The whole front end, I'm talking about the hood, the radiator, all that stuff in the front there. Well, that has come apart twice already. Yeah, and it's only a few years old. But that's the way the roads are. But you got to get to them. Because up the Coco River, you know, there are the Mosquito people. And nobody goes out there. The people that speak a different language. They're Mosquito people are short black people. You know, you don't mess with them. Because they're pretty, pretty wild. But you know, you take them clothing, and you take them food, and they'll listen to the gospel. You see? Take them, you do that way. You take them clothing, you take them food, and they'll listen to the gospel. The last trip that we took, her and I, we went up the Bocay River. Now, the Bocay River has its days. You know, sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. We got caught when it was low. And when it's slow means that the whole panga has got to be, we have four of them, but the whole panga had to be emptied out and carried over the rocks to where the water, where the creek was, the river was high. And so you had to reload it there. Anyway, it was nice when Jenny, this blonde-headed, white-skinned girl, came up to the sumo people and they hadn't seen a white woman with gold hair. So we gave them clothes and we gave them Bibles, we gave them food. They put all that aside just to touch her. Yeah. That is, yeah, this is weird. Yeah. My woman, guys, be cool. Anyway. Because that's the way we talk in New York City. You understand? So, yeah, you don't mess with my woman. So, you know, everybody touching her. But we had to go to them. Now imagine this. You know, they have never seen a white woman with golden hair. Imagine Jenny when she found out, she realized that there were no Holiday Inns along the Coco River, along the Bocai River. There were no Holiday Inns. And she's only been to places where there's Holiday Inns. So imagine her having to build her own Holiday Inn in the bushes. Imagine that. So it's, however we do that, we don't mind, we have not mind sleeping along the rivers, just literally sleeping on the bed of the rivers, because we go there to minister to people. And that's what Jesus called us to do. Out of Englewood, New Jersey, called us to go out and minister to people. And we do it. We do it with great joy. Jesus is coming soon. And we do it with great joy. We rather invest in things that are eternal than things that are temporal. So we invest in His kingdom. So now we're leading, directing the National Bible Institute, and then we give seminars to pastor, a guy that was sitting in the pew, a guy that didn't feel qualified. We're giving seminars to pastors, leadership seminars all over the northern part of the whole country. We're responsible for that to the national church. So we're building houses for the poor. And my responsibility, my face is to put the roof on. The nationals put the walls and I put the roof on. Because Nicaragua is the second poorest nation in this hemisphere. It's no right. It's not right. It's the second poorest nation. I was just showing a gentleman, you know, the average person makes 35 call to us for the day. 35 call to us is only $1.50, $1.60 a day. Gasoline costs us dollars per gallon. Dollars. Cannot afford it. A thing of gas costs 322 call to us. A small cylinder of gas. When they only make $1.75, $1.50, $1.75 a day. It's impossible. So in the city, in the city, you see the trucks load just for, they call it leña, wood for the wood stove. In the city, in the capital, let alone where we live, everybody cooks with wood. Everybody has an outside bathroom in their homes, outside bathrooms. So God has given us the privilege to build a Bible school with indoor plumbing. Imagine that. In the mountains. Now, see, you don't understand what I'm saying. The pastor, I'm building the bathroom and for a new classroom, and I built the bathroom. And the pastor comes and says, "But brother, what are we going to do about the smell?" You see, because the latrine stinks. It stinks. That's why they built away from the property. Because they stink. And so in his mindset, we're going to have a lot of stink in here, in this classroom. So I didn't want to embarrass the gentleman about, you know, how you build into a bathroom, because it would be embarrassing to him. So I just said to him, "My brother," he's a pastor, "we'll deal with that later." A pastor. "We'll deal with that later. I know it's a problem, maybe a problem. We'll deal with that later." The question hasn't come up because it doesn't exist. The problem doesn't exist. So every classroom that we build, anything that we build, has indoor plumbing. I'm talking about indoor showers and indoor facilities for sanitation. God has allowed us to do that, to show them that it can be done. And God is having a tremendous time in Nicaragua. I was just telling Pastor James, I'm just saying, two minutes, okay? He'll never invite me again, but it's okay. At least he got to hear. But, you know, in Nicaragua, you want to see revival? You want to see the Church of Acts? That's where you want to go. In the mountains where I live, where we minister, we have three churches. None of them have less than 700 members. In the little village, they get that. You build a church today thinking there's a big church, it's too small. It'll be jammed next year. That's the way it is today. And there's no evangelists, just the local church doing what you're doing here. Reaching out. You got saved to serve. And so they go out there and serve. You know, the Lord is with you. And so they go out there and they pray for the sick. And they get sick. They get healed. You know, that's the way God is doing it today in Nicaragua. So we just thank God that we have been honored by the New Jersey District to go to Nicaragua in the midst of this harvest, this incredible harvest, and be a part of it by directing Bible schools, by building Bible schools. Because one of the problems that you have when you have a lot of growth, how are you going to disciple them? You don't have anybody trained. And so we're building Bible schools because you've got to have Bible schools if you want this growth to grow, if you want it to be sustained. And so we just thank the Lord, because the Lord has proven, Lord, I'll be with you. I can tell you, He is with us. He will be with you when you go out there and do God's purpose to evangelize this community for Christ. And the Lord will be glorified. Because when he comes, you'll be able to say, it is we, Lord, and all the ones you've given us. Don't you want to say that to the Lord? And He's going to turn around and say to each one of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Jenny and I, we thank you, Pastor. We thank you, folks, for this time to be able to come and share with you. If you have any questions, I'll entertain them. And the ones that I can answer, James will. Pastor James will. Okay? Yes, sir. Yeah, he wants me to show you a video. It's a quick one. This is everything that we do. The construction, the ministries, and the Bible school. Go ahead, Pastor. Every day. This was prepared by a national church, girl in Matagalpa. I can see. That's the grounds that we got when we first got there. He is the executive presbyter of my section. The first classroom with indoor bathrooms. That's the building now. That's our office building. It overlooks the mountains. That's the base, the construction for the dormitory as it's going up. Now, I don't know how to build, but we build that. That's the dormitories. At each end, there's bathrooms, and there's the kitchen upstairs. Some of our students, chapel service. Speed the live vehicles. That's the one that's been rewelded twice. Jenny's library. They want to study. And I want to just tell you about some. We're ministering to children in the capital now. We give them some tweet, then we teach them the fundamental doctrines of the gospel. Everywhere we go, we take food. Teams come down and they do ministry, medical. Notice the children, notice the need where the people live. That's when I had hair. Things have changed. Notice they all have shoes, don't they? Very, very poor. Very poor. We take Bibles, we take food and clothing. Reaching out as Jesus would. A piñata is something that they had never seen before. A Sunday school classroom, folks. Ministry in the hospital to the children. Nice house, don't you see it? Nice bricks. People who are in need, we take food. The Bible school does that. Bamboo walls. I baptized her. She suffered very much. And we're just hands extended, reaching out. New Jersey's people reaching out across the sea as you send us there. All right. So, Pastor, thank you very much. The main thing is don't count yourself short in the hands of the Almighty God.